Samuel, in chapter number 30 is what we're going to look at today. Keep you too long today, but I pray that this message may help you in your life, and I pray that it might draw us closer to the Lord and see what He might have us to do today. Today, if you would look up on the screen before we read, tell you what we're going to be talking about today. The title of our message today is What to Do When You Don't Know What to Do. I don't know if you've ever found yourself in a situation like that, when you have no idea what to do. But most of the time we find ourselves living in this sinful world that we live in. We find ourselves in that situation. And I want to talk about what to do when you don't know what to do, because I believe in our text there's a man who found himself in that very situation, and he did something that might could help us. So let's begin reading in 1 Samuel 30 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag and was smitten, and it burned with fire, and had taken the women captive that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Noam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters." And here's what I want you to see. "But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. We thank you so much, God, for your presence in your house today. Thank you for the good singing that we've had that was so uplifting to you. And Father, I just pray today that as we open up this word that you've given to help us, to edify us, and to help magnify yourself. Father, I pray that you would be magnified today through this message. Father, I pray that your people may be edified today and that we might be drawn closer to you. Father, forgive us for every single day that we fail you. But God, thank you every morning that we wake up with brand new mercy, and you never fail us. And we thank you so much for that today. So God, I pray that you would just use this to encourage us. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We're talking about David today. Most everybody here has heard of David. Nearly everybody knows the David, though, of chapter 16. That David was a great shepherd boy who slew a lion and a bear. Most people know the David of chapter 17, who killed a man named Goliath. Most people know the David of chapter 18, who became the mightiest warrior in all of Israel. Most people know the David of 2 Samuel chapter 1, who became the greatest king in Israel. And most people know the David whom the New Testament calls a man after God's own heart. But there are very few people who know the David of 1 Samuel chapter 30. Because this is a David who was struggling. This is a David who was stressed out. And this is a David who had no idea what to do next. This is a man who was, the Bible says, distressed. He was hurting in his heart. He was stressed. He was down. And you know, so often, you and I are at fault because we to a fault, immortalize the men and women in the Bible. Meaning, we make those men and women higher than they really are. Because at least for me, when I read the people in the Bible, especially Moses and David and Daniel and Peter and Paul, for some reason I think, you know, when troubles came to them, it almost like it's just bounced off of them. It didn't bother them. It never got to them. They never got scared. They never got worried. They never fret about anything because they were just extraordinary people. But what you'll find out is in our text today, this story tells us something different. It tells us that though David, yes, he slew Goliath, that though David, yes, he was a warrior, though David, yes, he had great faith in God, in this story he was so fearful, he was so stressed out that he wept and he wept until the Bible says in verse number 4, until they had no more power to weep. For in our text today, David was experiencing a great trial of affliction. And more than likely, he found himself in a place where he was more discouraged than he had ever been. And you know, for us as the people of God, just because we're children of God, that does not mean we're exempt from times like these. Amen. Listen to what David said in Psalm 34. He said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. He didn't say many are the afflictions of the people who are unsaved, who are unbelievers. He said the righteous, the believers, the children of God, many are their afflictions. You remember what Job said? Job said, man born of woman is short of days, but full of trouble. Isn't that the truth? Yeah, we're here for a short time, but in those short times, man is full of trouble. Job said that. You remember what Jesus said in John 16:33? In this world you shall have tribulation. Not you might, not be surprised when it happens, but He's looking at His apostles and saying, in this world you will have trouble. Peter says, don't be surprised when the fiery trial comes to you. James says, count it all joy, my brethren, when you are in the trial. So over and over, the people in the Bible tell us that the people of God are going to experience times of trouble. And here's David this morning in our text, and he's found himself in that exact place. David feels like he's at the bottom, and I believe David feels like, just like Paul and Silas in that prison where it feels like he's trapped within four walls and there's no way out. And sometimes that's the place where we as the people of God will find ourselves as well. Searching for a way out, but seemingly finding like there's no way out. But you know, when I came down to verse 6 when I was reading this, I found a little bit of hope. Because the Bible says, though David was down, though David was distressed, though David was discouraged, he knew exactly where to go. He knew exactly where to go, and he went to the Lord his God. And he went to encourage himself in the Lord his God. How many of you need encouragement today? Let me say this. You can find encouragement at church. I already did this morning. You can find encouragement in a sermon. You can find encouragement in a song. But those are things that only last for an hour, for 30 minutes, for 5 minutes even. The greatest source of encouragement that you and I can find comes directly from the Lord. Directly from the Lord Himself. And you know, I would say that for a lot of people living today, I can't speak for other generations, I can only speak for this generation. The people that are alive right now would probably say the times that we are going through as Americans, the times that we are going through as Christians, this is some of the most saddest, most depressing times you've ever been through. A lot of people would testify to that this morning. That whether you're 13 years old or 83 years old, you get down. And that's what's crazy about right now. It's not just the 50 and 60 and 70 year olds, the seniors that are getting down and discouraged. It's literally teenagers that are getting down and discouraged. They have no idea what to do. And that's what happens in this world. And the bad part about that is that we may have never had anybody teach us what to do when we get down. You know, sometimes we just say, yeah, it's going to happen. You're just going to get down. But nobody's told you how to react. Nobody's told you how to respond when you're sad, when you don't know what to do. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is what to do when you don't know what to do. Because David, in verse number 6, shows us exactly what we're supposed to do. And it is this. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage ourselves in the Lord. You say, how in the world is that done? Well, I'm going to give you three things. How you and I can encourage ourselves in the Lord. Number one, you must go to the principles of Scripture. You must go to the principles of Scripture. When you and I are down and discouraged, that is not the time to close the Bible and turn away from it. Listen, when we're down and discouraged, you might need to take some time off from your job. When you're down and discouraged, you might can take some time off from certain activities that you do. When you're down and discouraged, you might can take some time off from TV, from your phone. But don't take time off from the Word of God. Because the Word of God is the very place that God uses to strengthen His people when we're down and discouraged. It can help us, it can strengthen us, and it can encourage us in the season that we are in. Because when you and I are in this season, I want to encourage you, when you're down and discouraged, that's what it is. It is a season, and seasons leave. But when you are in that season of discouragement and depression, if you will, and being down, we need more than a sermon. We need more than a song. We need more than a good quote from a good preacher. We need a word from God. And you find a word from God in His There's nothing like reading the Bible when you're going through a time like David was going through. And man, you open up the Bible and the Holy Spirit points to one verse and says, that's for you. There's nothing like it in this world. Because in that moment you realize God is with you. And God does want to help you and strengthen you and encourage you during this time. And that is exactly what the Word of God does. Listen to what David said in Psalm 119, verse 28. He said, my soul melts for heaviness. Lord, strengthen me according to Thy Word. He said, when my soul is heavy, when my soul is down, when my soul is literally melting on the inside of me, I need Your Word to strengthen me. He says in another place, had it not been for Thy Word, I would have perished in my affliction. That's what he says. He says, if Your Word would not been wrapped around me as an anchor, the ocean of sorrow would have carried me away and I'd have had no chance. But because I was anchored to Your Word was my firm foundation, I didn't perish. Because those oceans, man, they come to us and they try their best to sweep us away. But when we're firmly anchored in the promise of the Word of God, it can't do it. He said, I would have perished unless Your Word was my comfort. Your Word has been my comfort. Listen, God wants to encourage you. He wants to. God wants to set you free from your fears. But in order to do that, we've got to search the Scriptures and find what He wants to say to us. I want you to listen to what Charles Spurgeon said. And it really spoke to me. Charles Spurgeon said, this should teach us the extreme value of searching the Scriptures. There may be a promise in the Word which would exactly fit your case, but you may not know of it, and therefore you miss its comfort if you don't search the Scriptures. He said, you're like prisoners in a dungeon, And there may be one key in the bunch which would unlock the door and you might be free. But if you will not look for the key, you may remain a prisoner, though liberty is so close at hand. He said there may be a medicine in the great pharmacopoeia of Scripture, and you may yet continue in your sickness unless you examine and search the Scriptures to discover what He has said. He said there's something within the 66 books of this Bible that God wants to say to you, that God wants to use to encourage you, that God wants to use to set you free, that God wants to use to heal you, but unless you search for it, you'll never find it. And isn't that sad? God wants to encourage us, but He wants us to search the Scriptures and find that encouragement in His Word. So when you don't know what to do, there's what to do. Go to the principles of Scripture and let God speak to you directly in your situation. Number two, not only go to the principles of Scripture, but number two, we must pray in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Most of you know the text in Ephesians chapter number 6, where Paul is talking about facing spiritual warfare. And by the way, today, that's exactly what's going on in our world. It's not just a virus, it's not just family problems, it's not just health problems, it's not just mental problems, it's spiritual problems. That's where it all comes from, because the devil is fighting harder than he's ever fought. So Paul says, when you're going through that spiritual warfare, you must put on the whole armor of God in order to stand in the evil day. Talks about a helmet and a shield and a breastplate and a belt and shoes and a sword. He tells you all of that armor to put on, but so many people miss one of the greatest weapons, he tells us. In Ephesians 6, verse number 18, right after he talks about putting on the whole armor of God, Paul says this, praying always with all supplication in the Spirit. You know, that's the greatest weapon you and I have is prayer. But he didn't just say pray. He said pray always in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit. Now, what you're asking me probably right now is, what does it mean to pray in the Spirit? How does one pray in the Spirit? I want to read you this verse from Romans chapter 8, verse 26. Paul says in Romans 8, 26, he says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for, as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Bible just said, we do not know what we should pray for. Have you ever had such a burden on your heart and you go to pray for it and you don't even know what to say? You ever had something so heavy on you and you go to pray and you have no idea what to ask? You have no idea what to say? You have no idea how to break through? You just know that there's something that is heavy that you want to pray about? Well, I'm telling you this, that's where praying in the Spirit comes in. Verse 26 says, we have no idea or we know not what we should pray for. And when we do not know what to pray, the Bible says this, the Spirit helps us. And the Spirit makes intercession for us. You say, how does that work? What does that mean? Well, you know this from the past few weeks. We know that the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. That means the burdens that are on our heart that we can't even speak, because He's there, He knows. And it's almost like what He does in those times. The Bible calls Him a dove in Matthew chapter 3. He's a sweet heavenly dove. That's the way the Holy Spirit is pictured. When the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us, it pretty much means this. Do we have a burden on our heart that we cannot express, that we cannot even tell God, we don't even know what to ask for, but the Spirit does? And what the Spirit, if you will, what He does is He takes that burden off of our heart and He almost flies it all the way to the throne of God, and He sets it at the right hand of God and says, Father, they didn't know what to say. They didn't know how to bring it. They didn't know how to say it, what to say, but here's their burden. I lay it upon You. Here's what they wanted to say. Isn't that awesome? When you have no idea even how to pray, the Spirit says, I'll help you and I'll take it to the Father for you. There's also a verse in Luke 22 where Jesus looks at Peter and says, I want you to know I'm praying for you. And next time you're down, discouraged, and you don't know what to do, I want you to picture Jesus, the Son of God, at your Father's right hand, praying for you. Because that's exactly what He's doing. He's making intercession for you. He's praying for you that your faith fail not. That's what He told Peter. He said, I'm praying that your faith fail not. But in those times when you come to pray and, man, you don't even have the words to say, let me say this. The Spirit of God knows the words you want to say and He takes them straight to God for you. And God is a Father who, though when we don't even have the words to say, He knows exactly what we're trying to say. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, I believe it is, that Hannah was full of sorrow. Hannah had a burden on her heart. Hannah was grieving. And the Bible says literally that she went to pray, but it says only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. In other words, she was just praying in her heart. What's amazing about that is though Hannah didn't speak a word, God heard every single word she said. Even those prayers that you pray silently, can I encourage you? God hears every word you're saying. God hears even the most silent prayer. And that's what we should do when we are down and discouraged. Not only go to the principles of Scripture, but pray in the Spirit. And if you have to sit in silence for 1 hour, that's what God wants you to do. Just let your burden, you may not be able to speak it, but let it fly unto Him. And He'll take it. And you'll be amazed that if you'll just sit there in silence for a while, what God will put in your mind, your conscience, and your spirit that He wants you to hear. Because prayer is not just about talking, it's about listening. So when you don't know what to do, go to the principles of Scripture. Number two, pray in the Spirit. I told you I was going quick. I'm going to be done. Number three, you need to be around people who are spiritual. Be around people. My favorite, one of my favorite preachers to listen to in this world is C.T. Townsend. And he has a quote that he tells his church all the time. And it's this. He says, the only things that we really have in this world is God and each other. And I like that. The only really things that we have in this world are God and each other. All this other stuff, man, it's really not anything. But it's Him and it's one another. Can I say, when you're down in the dumps and you're discouraged, what the devil wants to do is get you isolated. The devil wants to get you alone. Because the Bible says the devil is a lion, right? Have you ever seen when a lion wants to attack its prey? The lion never attacks the prey when it's around others. When there's 50 sheep around, the lion will never attack. But here's what the lion does. He waits for 49 of them to go that way, and when one's all alone, he says, I got him. And you know what the lion does? He devours that sheep. Devours them. They do not have a chance on their own. And that's us. We do not have a chance to stand against the devil on our own. God never called us to go with this life all by ourselves. But we need each other. I don't know if anybody's ever told you that before, but I'm telling you this morning, you need each other. And godly, loving, joyful, kind people are a source that God uses to encourage us. God uses those people to encourage you when you're down. So you know what my advice is? Get around those people. I can't tell you, Brother Johnny, I haven't talked to you much today. I can't tell you how many times I come up here week after week and I sit in that office and I'm going through something. There's a battle going on the inside of here. And I don't know what to do, know where to go, anything. But you know what helps me? It's to get in that truck, drive about 15 minutes toward Lincoln, pull in my driveway, and open up that front door. Because what I see there is my little boy. And as soon as I walk in, it don't matter what I'm going through. It don't matter what I've been doing. The first thing he does is, can I tell you what happens in that moment, Clyde? That battle that I'm facing almost disappears. When I walk in and I see him, and then I walk over there and I see my wife, and I get to go over there and spend time with them, it's almost like the battle just goes away, Johnny. What we need in this life is people. You never know what being around people can do for you. Don't isolate yourself. Don't be all alone. Get around good people who can bring you a certain sense of happiness and joy. Listen, y'all know this. I don't mind telling you this. Some of our greatest friends are sitting back there on that back row, Landon and Heather. And when they come to our house and we do stupid challenges like eating stuff we shouldn't eat, you know what it does? It makes me happy. It makes me happy. Because, you know, the Bible says that we are the body of Christ. It does not say that we are the arm of Christ out here all alone. We're the leg of Christ out here all by ourselves. We're the body of Christ, and the body is supposed to be together. And that's why Jesus made the church the body of Christ, because we need each other. And get around those people who can just make you laugh, who can bring you joy, and who can put a smile on your face, because that is a source that God uses to help you in your discouragement. God uses those people to help you out. So today we could go on. But these are the three things that God laid on my heart. These are the three things that have helped me when I'm discouraged, when I'm down. What I encourage you to do is, you may not be in that season right now, or you may be, but write those things down. And when you start facing things when you don't know what to do, this formula, if you will, I'm telling you this, it works every single time. Because the Scripture will help you start to trust the Lord. Praying will help you give it to the Lord. And being around people will just help you serve the Lord. So add these things to your life when you're down and discouraged. The Bible says David encouraged himself. Himself. Listen, I know I said the third point is get around people, but David said, I'm going to get around the Lord first, because the Lord is the greatest source of encouragement we can find. He is. Get around Him. Get around His Word. Get around His presence in prayer, and He'll encourage you if you'll search for Him and seek for Him with all your heart. Musicians, you can come. I'm done. If you would, I'll stand to your feet. Father, we come to you this morning. We want to thank you so much for your Word that is real. It's not stories that have been made up or things that we can't take to our heart, but God, You've given them to us to encourage us and to show us what to do and how to live in our lives. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to take the example of David. Though David was down and discouraged, he went to You. He ran to You and he encouraged himself in Your presence and in Your Word. And Father, I pray that You'd help us as the body of Christ to do the exact same thing. You're available any time, day or night. So Father, help us to run to You and find encouragement in You. Father, we love You today and we thank You for giving us the encouragement we need right when we need it. In Jesus' name, amen.